Matthew chapter 28, starting from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Good morning, everyone. Great to see you all. Happy Easter, if I didn't get to say that to you last weekend. Maybe it's just the way my brain works, but I was looking at this and looking at the word Easter, and I thought, actually, if you just drop out the A and then you switch the R to the front and then you just switch the T and the E around, you get reset. That's good, isn't it? And of course, that's what Easter's all about. That's what we talked about last weekend. Good Friday, Jesus takes all of our failings to the cross, pays for all of them, so that we can have a reset, a second chance in life. And then on Easter Sunday, Jesus rises from the grave to confirm that reset. He really did pay for our sins. He has been raised. He's vindicated. He's defeated the great enemy. But after Easter, what does that mean for us? How do we go on living after the great reset has happened? Well, Jesus gave us the answer to that question in those verses that we just heard read to us from the very end of Matthew's gospel. And in fact, I don't think it's an overstatement to say that the rest of the New Testament, I think, is an unpacking of these words of Jesus. Now, that should make us sit up and pay attention. So how do we live after Easter? What do these words say to us? Well, just before we dive into them, we just need to do a check and clear some cobwebs out this morning. We need to check that we understand the meaning of the word all. Okay, so let's just do a thought experiment. Imagine if I were to say, I've just been given a donation to hand out and I've got enough here to give a $100 note to everyone, to all of you here. Now, does that include you? If I say I want to give $100 to all of the people in the room, that doesn't include you? Yes, good. Okay, let's wake up. Let's go. I've had a coffee. Maybe you need one. All right, let's try another one. Let's imagine that we've just discovered that there's been some sort of bad bacteria growing in the roof here of St. Paul's. And that means that all of you have to go and get an injection to make sure you don't fall gravely ill. Would you go to the doctor or not? Yes. If it's all of you, yes, yes. Okay, all means everyone. Okay, I've eaten all the Easter eggs. There's none left. Means every single thing in that category. Now, that's important for us to get that, because if we're to see how we're to live after Easter, we need to understand and feel the weight of the word all. Because Jesus mentions four great alls in these last comments, in his standing orders that he left for us after Easter. So let's dive in and have a look at them one at a time. Jesus has all authority. All authority. I think the first comment that Jesus comes up with here is one of the most outrageous statements in all of history. There's been lots of great claims in history. People have come and gone on the stage of world history. But Jesus here, this statement, if it's true, changes everything. Jesus came, the risen Jesus, came to the disciples, Matthew 28 and verse 18. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, where did that statement come from? What's that got to do with his death and resurrection? Those people who knew their Old Testament knew what Jesus was referring to here. He was plugging in to a particular part of the Old Testament. And we covered it last year. We went through the book of Daniel. You may remember, just before Christmas. And right at the center of that book, the center of the message of Daniel, is Daniel chapter 7. And there in Daniel chapter 7, the prophet Daniel has a vision. He said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. This one approached the Ancient of Days, was led into his presence. And he, this one like a son of man, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." In this vision, the Ancient of Days gives to the Son of Man all authority after that Son of Man has done the business of slaying the little horn, which is in Daniel's vision, stands for the ultimate rebellion against God's rule. Once the Son of Man has done that, all authority is given to him in Daniel's vision. Now here in Matthew 28, the risen Lord Jesus comes and says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." In other words, Jesus is saying, "I am the Daniel 7 guy. I'm that king that everyone's been waiting for. I am the one who was prophesied. I have all authority. Because in my death and resurrection, I've slayed the little horn. I've dealt with sin and death and the devil. And if I've dealt with all of them, then what other authority could there possibly be in the world?" Jesus has all authority. Now we need to tease out what this means for our lives. What it must mean is that if you want to be associated with Jesus, you can't muck around with him. Jesus cannot be your hobby. He cannot be your little thing that you do on a weekend and then forget about during the week. If he has all authority, that means he has authority over every part of your life, every part of my life. He has the right to tell us what is right and what is wrong in our lives. He has the right to say what is the good life and what is not. He has the right to say, if you do that, you will stand under judgment. He has the right to call for our allegiance to him, to call for our trust in him, to trust that his ways are best. He has the right to have the loudest voice into our lives. Now, are you letting him rule over your life? Here's how you can tell. Are there any points of your life where God's word feels uncomfortable for you to obey? Because if there's not, if you find that Jesus happens to agree with everything that you think and everything that you say and everything that you do, then chances are you're not listening to Jesus' voice, you're listening to your own. One of the ways we know that Jesus has the right to exercise his authority in our life is if what he's saying disagrees with what we might think, if there's some uncomfortableness there. But there's something else that we need to tease out of this statement of Jesus, that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. If he has that authority, that means he rules over governments. He rules over industry. He rules over universities. He rules over column writers, over the media, over social media. If Jesus has all authority, that means he has authority over the public square in our life, which means he has the right to tell people what is the good life and what is not, whether they're his followers or not. This side of heaven, there's an amnesty. The good news is that there's grace to be found in Jesus. He will forgive the sinners and wipe their record clean. And he has the right to declare that message across all the world because he has all authority. We need to not get caught up in this mealy mouthed snake talk that people have the right not to be offended by things that are said. If all human beings are by nature rebels against God, and God has all authority, then when he speaks, it's bound to cause offense. That's okay. The way we work out whether it's right for that to be said or not is to say, well, actually, who has the authority to speak here? Oh, Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. That's the first all. Jesus has all authority. But secondly, Jesus is for all nations. Jesus is for all nations. Now, I don't know if you saw this in the news. Last year, November, this man, John Allen Chow, made the news. And he made the news, he was an American man, because he was killed by bow and arrow as he landed on North Sentinel Island, which is a remote island off the coast of India there. And it has a 30,000-year-old tribe living on it. The tribe is about 100 people, apparently, and they don't like the outside world. They're almost a Stone Age tribe living there that hasn't been touched by technology. And he landed on that island with the intention of talking about Jesus to those people. The day before he died, he'd made it onto the beach, and he recorded in his diary later that night, he was able to share the words, "Hello, my name is John, and I love you, and Jesus loves you," before he fled under a volley of arrows and made it back to his boat, made the diary entry. The next day, he went back onto the island to try again, and he died. Now, when this story hit the news, there was all sorts of outrage. People saying, how dare that person impose his beliefs on that tribe? I don't know if you saw the story. I wonder what you thought of it. We need to hear Jesus' words at this point. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus has all authority, which means he is Lord over every people group on earth. Every single culture was made by him and was bought back by him through his blood. And he therefore is entitled to speak the good news of his forgiveness at Easter through his servants to every person on earth. The gospel is for the nations. So whatever we might think about the particular way that John Allen Chow went about what he did, there's no doubting that John Allen Chow fully understood the implications of what Jesus is saying in his final words here on earth in Matthew's gospel. Now, some people say, well, whatever religion you're born into, you should just be allowed to follow that and be left in peace. That's rubbish. Jesus says that's rubbish. There are only two ways to live. You either trust in Jesus for salvation, living with him as your Lord, acknowledging that he has all authority, or you stand in a way that means you'll face the judgment of God. That's the only two ways. That's it. And because that's it, that's why there's an urgency to share the good news of Easter across the world. That's why Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. All. Remember? All of them, every single one. Well, what does make disciples mean? Well, in Matthew, a disciple is someone who follows Jesus and learns from Jesus. Baptism is a way of expressing that allegiance to him. So what Jesus is saying here is that what he wants from all of his disciples is that they make disciples who make disciples. You know, we've got to be clear here. It's not like there are some people who are Christians and then there are Christians who are disciples. A Christian is a disciple. And a disciple is someone who makes other disciples. So if you're a Christian, you're someone who's making and investing in other Christians. And that's for all of us. That's every single one of us. In other words, for every single one of Jesus' followers, Jesus can't stop with you. No one is meant to be a cul-de-sac where Jesus enters and doesn't go anywhere else. The call is upon every single one of our lives to be in the business of making disciples. Whether that's through conversations at church, whether it's when you meet up in your small group through the week, whether it's you meet one-on-one and open the Bible, whether it's the way you share with your kids about Jesus or your grandkids about Jesus, whatever it is, Jesus can't stop with you. His lordship is to be shared, it's to be spoken of. Every Jesus follower speaks to other people about Jesus, either to introduce them to him or to help them be built up in him, which is why our church says, bring people to Jesus, build them up in Jesus, send them out that they might go and make disciples of all nations somewhere else. And if that is true, if that's the calling on our lives, if that's what it means to live after Easter, it should change the way we view every single person that God places in our path. What does this person need to know about Jesus? Are they a fellow brother or sister that I can share with and build up? Are they someone who doesn't know him yet? They should be the questions that are entering the mind of every single person who's had the reset at Easter. Jesus has all authority. He is for all nations. Thirdly, Jesus wants us to obey all his teachings. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. In the Greek, there literally it says all the things. It uses the word all again. Teaching them to obey all the things that I've commanded you. You know, following Jesus is more radical than any of us really dares to think. We are all, me included, very good at chopping Jesus down to our size, of domesticating him so that he doesn't mess with our agendas too much. We're all very good at that. But Jesus says here, to be my disciple, to be one of my children, you need to heed all of my words and be a part of passing them on to others. All the words. Now, I think it's clear here that what this means is all the words of the New Testament, and if it's all the New Testament, it's all the Old Testament as well. But even if we were just to limit Jesus' comment to all the things taught by Jesus in Matthew's gospel, if we were to genuinely hear those words and feel their weight and obey them, they would make a radical difference to the way we live and think. Let me give you just two examples. This is not all the words. This is just two examples. Matthew 19 and verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to test him and they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Now, in these few words, Jesus clashes with the culture around us in the West in the 21st century. Because he says two things here that the culture around us says are too restrictive. First, he says that gender is not a creation of people that can be overturned. He says gender is binary. God made them male and female. When I get a form now that asks me to tick a box that says male, female, or other, the other is a fiction. It's a man-made fiction. Now, it is true, there are people who struggle with things like gender dysphoria. They feel like they're in the wrong body. We need to have compassion towards those people. But Jesus teaches here, God made them male and female. And then he teaches that marriage, therefore, is between a man and a woman. And that's all that marriage is. If you want to do something else, whatever it is, it's something else. It's not marriage. God does not join those people together. Now, just those two things. If we hold to them, if we obey them as Jesus commands us to do, that will put us at odds with the culture around us in the days that we're living in. If we're going to recognize that the risen Lord Jesus, who loves us and forgives us, has all authority, it will mean following him on these truths, even where it leads us to bump up against the culture around us. And if it does, and we get into troubled waters in conversations with family or workmates or people, neighbours, what do we do then? Well, let's pick another of Jesus' teachings from Matthew 6. You've heard that it was said, "Love your neighbour and hate your enemy." But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Can you hear how countercultural this is? Our culture says, fight for your rights, pick your tribe, defend your tribe against all the other tribes. Fight against those who oppose your view of freedom. Jesus says, love those who oppose you. Love them and pray for them. Love them. Offer them your kindness. Offer them your help. Offer them your generosity. Pray for them. List them alongside your family members when you get down on your knees before your father. How hard is this? And yet this is what it means to follow the one who gave us the reset at Easter. It means to show grace to others as we were shown grace at Easter. It means to love where it is not deserved, as we were loved at the cross when it was not deserved. All the teachings. How do we do this? Well, this is where the fourth of the alls is crucial for us. Jesus is with us for all days. See, all of this, I've been saying, it sounds full on, doesn't it? It sounds full on to me, and I've been doing this as a pastor for nearly 20 years now. It's still, I'm preparing this and I'm going, wow, these words are full on. But, you know, we kid ourselves if we think it's been easier to follow Jesus in days gone by. I think that's nostalgia. And you know what they say? Nostalgia isn't what it used to be. It's always been a challenge to listen to Jesus' voice louder than the world. It's always been a challenge to share Jesus with all the nations, with all the people that God places in our path. It's always been a challenge to heed all the things that Jesus taught. And Jesus knew it would be. Which is why his final words are such a comfort to us. He says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Literally, all the days is what it says in the original language. It uses the word all again. I am with you for all the days. There's not one that I'm not with you. It means, friends, you're not alone. I'm not alone as we try and walk with Jesus after Easter. Jesus is with you right now and always by his Spirit. And this isn't just wishful thinking of pie in the sky. This is reality. The same Spirit who descended upon Jesus like a dove at his baptism and empowered him to live the life of the Messiah all the way to the cross and the resurrection, that Spirit lives within every person who trusts in Jesus as Lord. And that means two things. That means, firstly, you can change. If there's a part of your life that you haven't brought under the authority of Jesus, you have the power to repent and change that and bring it under his authority. Many voices in our culture tell us that we're hardwired to behave in certain ways, and there's nothing we can do about it. But Jesus says, you know, I made you. And the same power that formed you from the dust now lives inside of you. So you know what? Rewiring, that's not too hard for me. You can change. And second, this promise of Jesus means there's always comfort when you need it. Jesus is full of compassion. He is not a hard taskmaster. A bruised reed he will not break. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest," says Jesus. "I am with you always." His words of promise are true, and they soothe us when we face trouble. And you know, the one who began a good work in us will surely see it through to the end. And there is nothing that can thwart his good purposes for those who trust in him, even when it's hard. How do we live after the reset of Easter? We follow Jesus, who has all authority. So we let his voice be louder. We share Jesus with all the nations, starting with the people that God's placed in our path. We obey Jesus and all of his teaching, especially the parts that we find the hardest, because that is where we need the most shaping. And we rest in Jesus, who is with us for all days. Let me pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that at Easter you came towards us in a way we did not deserve. While we were still enemies, Christ died for us to wash us clean, to give us a reset, that our lives might be put back on the path of righteousness that leads to glory with you. Father, as we hear these final words, these standing orders of the risen Jesus, help us by your Spirit to feel the weight of these alls. Will you let Jesus have all authority in our life because His way is best. His way is the way of love. Will you help us to share Jesus with all the nations, with everyone? Reframe the way we look at people to be the same way You look at people. Father, will You help us to heed all Jesus' teachings, especially those that are hardest, knowing that by Your Spirit we can change. And help us to rest in the comfort that Jesus is with us all days. We ask this in His name. Amen.